Mr. Christopher Reed, what is going on?
What's up, man? Are we on this?
Yeah, we on this right now. We record, yeah, yo. You're welcome. I've been good, man. Welcome to the Good and Bad Podcast Show. We've been talking about this for a while.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah, we've been, it's been, what, like 3 weeks now since we've been trying to get a good time to do this, right?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Well, it's been 3 weeks, but we've been talking about this for like a month or two.
Yeah, we got a lot to cover, man. First of all, man, how are you doing, bro?
Me, man, I'm doing all right. You know what I'm saying? I'm just, all I do is work. That's it. Just work out and stay home. What about you?
Yeah, same thing, man. Same gimmick. I'm out here right now in Austin, Texas. Just working, man, grinding. You know, living that sort of dream. Been traveling a lot, so it's been fun. Texas has been cool. I've been out here for like 2 years now, man.
So, what made you move to Austin, Texas?
Man, so honestly, bro, like I've been traveling for probably the last, I want to say like 7 years. So I left college and got kind of started in the restaurant industry up in Boston. And from there, man, I just kind of like, I jumped on it, man. I went out to Martha's Vineyard and then Vail, Colorado and San Francisco, California, and then came back home and then, yeah, did another trip on the vineyard and then to Austin, Texas. So it's been cool, man. I mean, I dig traveling. I love it, man. It's like something that I'm really passionate about. Just seeing the world and not kind of being like, you know, just kind of confined in one area.
I definitely feel you on that. Not being, you know, confined in one area. Cause, you know, with me, you know, being a referee, you know, I do a lot of, you know, traveling for that and, you know, and I love it. So
of course. Yeah.
It's always good when you're passionate about something, because that's the first time I've ever been like so, you know, passionate about anything. So it's so good that you know, you found something that you're passionate about. So like, what is it that you do with the, you know, the restaurant industry?
I bartend. I'm in sales too. So, you know, doing those sort of those jobs is definitely easy to just kind of like, you can definitely just back kind of bounce around and find a job anywhere. Obviously now 2020 is a crazy situation, so it's a little bit different. Before 2020, it was a lot easier to just kind of like, you know, I just go out to Vail and like, cool, like I got a good resume, I'm gonna go here, I'm gonna work here, like this is great, like make some money, enjoy, you know, go snowboarding in the mornings and stuff like that. So I think like for me, man, it's always kind of just been like just kind of like living your life, man. Like I was out in Peru and Ecuador for
like
a month. Yeah. And I bartended a little bit out there at a hostel. And that was cool, man. Like, but it was like the same thing. Like I literally didn't have to pay for the hostel. Like I just bartended and they gave me food, you know, they gave me drinks if I needed it or whatnot. And I was able to just literally work for like 7 or 8 hours and then have free room and then just kind of like go and explore the country. And it was like, you know, it's like things like that I love. I think it's different for a lot of people. You know, a lot of people stay isolated and have that kind of like structure too. And I think that as well. You know, I'm in a spot too where I'm kind of like feeling, you know, as you get a little bit older, but man, like dude, living life, like, you know, just traveling, being a little bit of a nomad is, it's fun, man. Like it's fun. You just, you get a little bit of everything from everywhere.
Now, who are you living out in Texas with?
Right now it's, I live with my roommate. He's, doing something. He's an artist. He's, I don't know what he's doing. He's probably painting something, but, yeah, it's right now. It's just me and him. And, yeah, I mean, it's, we've lived together for, man, about a year now here. So he's probably the best roommate I've ever had. So he's a good guy.
That's good. That's good to have good roommates.
Yeah, man.
I hear nightmare stories from people when they have roommates.
Dude, a lot of people suck, dude. But there's great people in the world, too. So
now, you know what I want to know is, since you do a lot of traveling, okay? Yeah. Now, when we played flag football, we all called you like Christopher Reed, boy band, you know what I mean? Which I'm pretty sure you've heard plenty of times, you know what I mean? And what I mean by boy band is because Christopher Reed, Chris looks like he was the leader of a boy band group, like a heartthrob that all the girls would go crazy over. He was like the Justin Bieber before Justin Bieber.
No, man, no. Like, terrible, man. No, bro. No, terrible. We're thinking O-Town, man. That would be the boy band.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. You're right. Very true. You know what? You're so right about that. More like O-Town, definitely. But you had that boy band look, he's the lead singer of a boy band group. So when you do all that traveling, do you meet a lot of women, and are they always complimenting you and all that stuff?
I mean, bartending, definitely, you get your fair share of things like that. For me though, man, I've kind of always been a relationship type of guy. So it's sometimes it's hard to people come to you, whatever, you get it, guy, girls and stuff like that. But man, I've always just been a relationship type of guy. And that's my last relationship that I was in. She kind of put me onto the kind of traveling kind of gimmick. And I loved it. I fell in love with it, man. And her and I just kind of traveled everywhere together. We did Martha's Vineyard. We would do that we did that for 4 seasons. And but what was cool with that was that we would do it from April to about September. And then we would have the winters off. And that's why I was saying, we would be able to, make a ton of money and then travel wherever we wanted to. And even work or whatever. So, one year we worked in, lived and worked in Vail, Colorado and stuff like that. And it was, it was her that got me into that. But in terms of, girls and stuff like that, girls are fun, but no, man, I'm a relationship type of guy, man. I was single for about a year-ish, I want to say, and dude, it's a lot of work, man, being single. It's a lot of work, dude. It's a lot easier when you're in a relationship, to be honest. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's the truth.
No, I don't. Yeah. It don't sound ridiculous. I agree. I totally agree with you on that, because once I hit a certain age, I just became all about, being in a relationship. And then I went and I was single for a good man. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I want to say 4 years.
Shit.
And, having been on the dating apps, going out on dates, talking to women, you're right though. Cause I got to that point where I was just yo, it's tough work being single. It's a whole lot easier when you're in a relationship.
Yeah, it's so much easier. And it's so much, there's no, stress with it. You don't have to worry as much. You kind of know, what she wants and, kind of how to make her happy. And, it's just pretty, simple, with a random person or I have a funny dating story. Oh, my God. Hold on. I have to tell you this.
Yeah, let me hear it.
Oh, my God. So when I first moved here, I was on Hinge, which Hinge is a good site, so don't worry. But anyway, I met this girl. She was super cute, and it was insane. So she comes over, and we're just hanging out, right? We're talking. Everything is going great. Like
She is super cute. And I do remember my roommate, like, literally texted me, dude, there's something wrong with her. And I was like, stop. So she brings a wine glass. And then, like, we go on a – yeah. And so then we go on a walk. And so we're walking to go – I think we were going to get, I don't know, more wine or I don't know what it was. But so she works – which, good for her. She works at, like, a homeless shelter or something like that. Like, which is cool. Like, and I dig that, man. Like, I think if you're doing something to help people, that's, like, everything to me. So that was like, yeah. I was like, hell yeah, like you're awesome. And dude, she was insane. And whatever. We find this guy on the road. so I get an Uber with all of us, and yeah, he's in it. And we bring him back to the place because he was wandering off. We bring him back, and whatever, he goes back in, and I'm like, man, this girl is incredible. Like, she's such a good person. So then, like, yeah, we just hung out, and then went back to my place. Dude, she became insane. I don't know what the hell happened to this girl. She just started, like we fell asleep. We didn't even, like, we just made out. Like, wasn't even anything crazy. And at, like, 7:30 in the morning, dude, she just, like, woke up, and I was like, what's going on? And she literally was just like, F you, blah, 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 blah. I was like, what? And she just started throwing things all over my bedroom. Dude, it was insane. And then the best part of this, so I kicked her out. And I didn't want to, like, you know, be mean, but I was like, hey, maybe not break things in my apartment. That's kind of not, like, the best way to do things. So anyway, I was like, hey, you gotta get out of here. So she left. And then funny thing is I don't even do the Hinge thing ever or anything like that, but I ended up looking at it recently, and the same girl sent me a freaking like on it or whatever to match. Just like, dude, I want to send it to you because it was so funny. I was like, well, this seems awkward. Yeah, that was my response to it.
So after you basically was like, yeah, you gotta go, then she decides later on Hinge, let me rematch with him.
Bro, I had one of those, like, big, like, water jug things, right? In my, like, in my bedroom, just because, you know, you got to stay hydrated. Dude, she freaking threw it and broke it, and, like, it's just starting to, like, I don't know, destroying, like, everything in my bedroom. I was, what the hell are you doing? It was like 7:30 in the morning. I was, like, exhausted. But it was really fun. She sent that back to me, and then I was like, oh, this seems awkward. And she was like, oh, fuck. And I was like, yeah, like, you're an idiot.
So yeah, man. I mean,
dating sites are terrible. Like, no, don't you date.
Oh, no, they are. They absolutely are. I hopped off of those dating sites a long time ago. Oh, and when I hopped off of them, my life has been so much better, so much easier.
Yeah,
I don't, you know, even, what I mean? Not having to deal with that.
Yeah, man, I don't even. And to be honest, I never really even probably met like two or three girls from a dating site. But like in general, like you should just obviously again, 2020 sucks, so you can't really kind of go out as much as like you used to be able to. But in general, like, you know, just meet somebody. You know, like you should meet somebody. You know, like just. You know, at a bar or, you know, freaking at the grocery store, like wherever it is, you know, like.
I agree.
You know, I just think that, you know, that's kind of the way I look at things. Like,
I definitely agree. And I definitely have said many times, and I've said this to people, go back to the old ways of meeting somebody. Is if you're out and about, you see someone you like, I mean, it's cute or whatever, go up, hi, how you doing, have a talk with them, and then go from there.
You know what's weird, though? I talk to, you know, I have a lot of girlfriends, too. Well, not girlfriend, like, you know, friends that are
female friends.
Yeah. And they tell me, like, dude, dudes are crazy with, like, their approach to things. Like,
they are.
I couldn't imagine, like, being that guy who's, like, you know, DMing somebody like, oh, hey, like, you're so hot, or like, send me pics, or, you know, like, creepily going up to them. I just couldn't imagine like being that person. Like that, it's insane to me. Like if, you know, if there's a connection there and you just like randomly are like, hey, what's up? Like, cool, let's talk. And why not? I always take kind of like, even my in life, honestly, man, I take it kind of like just nonchalant. Just that's kind of the way I do it. I'm not like an aggressive person, but it is interesting to hear about dudes who act that way.
I personally don't get it. You know what I mean? Cause I have a lot of female friends and they're always, you know, screenshotting me stuff that, you know, men be sending them. And I mean, I honestly don't get it. I've never, ever in the 39 years I've been alive, even though social media hasn't been out that long, I've never slid into a woman's DM.
Yeah, me either.
I've never sent a woman a message on Facebook or Instagram or anything like, hey, what's up? How you doing? Like, yo, you're so hot. I want to get to know. I've never done it, nor will I ever.
So thirsty, bro. What in the world? Like,
my thing with that is, it definitely is thirsty. And the thing is, these women see it so, you know, they see it happen to them so much that you know, and you know, 9 times out of 10, these guys are DMing them, you know, rude and disrespectful shit. That even if you come, you know, you being that one person might come across them respectfully, like, hey, how you doing? I just wanted to let you know that I think you are a very beautiful woman and I would like to get to know you. She won't even give you that time of day or even read it, because she'll just look at you like, oh, okay, this person sent me a message. It's probably another guy sending me a dick pic or a pic saying he wants to fuck me.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
No, so absolutely.
It's that whole one bad apple spoils the bunch.
Have you sent out a dick pic before?
I've never sent a woman.
Never done it?
Never done it.
Once. And hopefully that's not on the internet. Yeah, I regretted it the moment I did it. Yeah.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Okay. I will say this. I've sent dick pic to a woman that I'm in a relationship with.
Okay, yeah, well, that's fine, dude.
One woman. You know what I'm saying? But I've never sent it to any other woman who I was either talking to, dating, or just having sex with, or even past relationships that I've been in that I didn't send dick pics. I've only sent it to one, and I was in a, you know what I mean, and you know that I'm in, you know, in a relationship with. So that's it.
Again, I only did it one time, and it was with a random girl, and we didn't even hook up. So maybe that's on me, I guess. No, I'm kidding. But now, who wants to see a dick? I that's to me at least. I do love getting, you know, boot pics. Those are fun. Dude, you get a random text.
Yo, you want to know?
And it's just straight boobs. Huh? You get a random text and it's just straight boobs. Dude, that is gold.
I guess. Yeah, I've gotten that. I've gotten that, and, you know, just like randomly out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? And the funny thing is, right, I've never gone, like, asked a woman, like, hey, yo, send me. You know what's funny, right? Yeah. I've sent women messages just saying, yo, can you send me a picture? Now, the reason why I ask for a picture is because if I have your phone number, I just want a picture to add to the profile. So when you call, your picture pops up on my phone.
I like
so
that.
When I see
you're
them,
very, like, organized. I like that.
Yes, you know what I mean? Organization is like everything to me. But when I say to them, yo, can you send me a picture? They're like, what kind of pic? You know what I mean? And I'm like, yo, listen, don't side-eye me. That's not how I mean it, okay? Send me a tasteful picture. I'm not asking for anything, you know what I mean, like revealing or anything. And I say, I just want one for your profile.
Yeah, man, I think, like, yeah, people that, dude, there's dudes out there that are just, I don't know, it's just weird to me. I don't know, maybe, like, I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it, but I would never do that. Like, I grew up, like, pretty much raised by two women, essentially, my mother and my sister, and, you know, they're kind of everything for me, or to me. And,
yeah, absolutely.
So, like, women, in terms of everything, I think that's why I've kind of consistently been in a relationship, have just, I don't know, I would never, I don't know. I would never be kind of rude to them or, like, you know, be aggressive to them. They're just, for me, women are, you know, they're, I don't know, they're everything, you know, they're.
The same goes for me because, you know, I have five sisters.
Oh, Jesus.
Exactly. And they played
Kenny,
a big.
Though. You got Kenny, though, right? Kenny's.
Yeah, I got. Oh, yeah. But hold on. Kenny's. Listen, I got five. Kenny's. I have five sisters, six brothers.
You have what?
I have five sisters, six brothers.
Jesus.
You know what I'm saying?
They went after it.
You know what I'm saying? So my sisters, you know, who are all older, they all played a big role in raising me.
Yeah.
So I'm the same way too. So I've never put my hands on a woman, nor would I ever. You know what I mean? I've never been aggressive with a woman. You know what I'm saying? Have I, like, in the middle of a conversation, I've raised my voice? I have. But that never ends well for me because they automatically look at it like, you know, as me being, you know, threatening, because they look at it like, yo, he's 6'1", black dude, 240 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, so they, but, you know.
But, so. Yeah, no, I do totally. Like, it's funny, too, because, like, I kind of, like every girlfriend I've ever had, and I've only had, like, really, it's weird, like, honestly, three or four, but they've always been, like, long-term relationships.
Yeah.
But they're very, like, headstrong, and I love that. I do. Like, I'm drawn to that, but it's also, it's one of those things, too, man, where it's, like, we'll get into an argument, and it's, like, I'll know I'm right, but, like, it's, like, being, like, the sky is blue, right? And then they're so good at arguing, these are the girls I'm drawn to, that they'll be, like, no, actually, it's yellowish. And you're wrong, and blah, 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 blah. And I'll just sit there and I'll be like, shit, fuck, yeah. You know, just give up. Forget it. Like, just forget it. Like, you're right. No problem, honey. Like, I love you. It's the truth, man. Like, dude, I swear to God, man. Every girl I've ever dated is, like, exactly like that. It's so weird. I couldn't date a girl, man, that was, like, that would be, like, just so, like, submissive. Like, I don't know. For me, it's just I like a girl that has a good head on her shoulders and is very, like you know, structured and goal oriented and so on and so forth. But those girls definitely have they're gonna let you know that they're always right and you win 5% of those fights. So
yeah. You see, so
got a little bit
where you and I are alike is I've only been in. I want to say I've only had like four or five long-term relationships.
Yeah.
And yes, I've also dated the headstrong women. But where you and I differ is if I say to her, yo, the sky's blue. And she's like, no, actually, it's kind of like yellowish, pinkish. And then I'll be like, what? Are you looking at the same clouds as me? And they're like, yeah, let me explain why. Yo, you know what? It ain't even worth it. That's fine. You think it's yellowish, pinkish? Cool. Let that be. It's blue, and I'm gonna leave it at that.
Right, dude. Oh my god, it's wild, man. It's cool though. I mean, those are the girls, man. Like, those are the girls that you know, have your back. And man, that's I'm still friends with all my ex girlfriends. You know, if they needed anything from me, I would do anything for them. Really work out, I guess. If that makes sense.
We differ there because there's a few exes that I'm still cool with, but the others, it's like we may still be cool on like Facebook, Instagram, but don't call me for shit.
Bro, don't get me wrong, man. There's some girls that are gonna maybe listen to this and they're gonna be like, dude. That guy sucks, but
yeah, I go through it every day, so it's all good.
You know, like 2 days or whatever.
I go through it every day because every time I put out, you know, a new podcast, mm-hmm. someone hears certain, you know, something new, and then I'll get hit up by either an ex girlfriend who I was in a relationship with, or I just dated, or I was just only having sex with, mm-hmm. and then you know they end up like talking shit to me about. Was that, you know, was it, oh, I heard this and that. You know what I mean? I'm just like, oh, yeah, they'll ask me, you know, is that about me? Well, if you're going to take the time to ask me if it's about you, then what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say no name, but for you to ask, like, you know, I can have every ex
mm-hmm.
post something on Facebook, Instagram, or even have their own podcast and say something.
Yeah.
I'll never hit them up and say, yo, were you talking about me? Because yeah. First of all, I know me. So I know it's not about me. And even if it is about me, I don't give a fuck.
100%. No, I totally agree with that. Like, and it doesn't matter. You know, there's two sides to every story, obviously. And, you know, I don't really pay, like, too much attention to any of that shit. You know, it doesn't. For me, it's like, you know, I'm sure, you know, the girls I dated, they have their opinion about me, and I have my opinion about them, and so on and so forth. So, but I try to, you know, the people that, you know, meant something to me in my life, that's like big for me. I keep, like, my circle is like pretty tiny. So I, you know, anyone who is, you know, a good person, and I think, like, bartending for so long, especially, like, throughout the country, has kind of taught me, like I can read somebody within probably like 10 seconds of meeting them. Like, I'll know if you are a good person or you're not, like, you know, or I'll know if you want, like you want to talk to me, or you just want like a whiskey soda and for me to kind of fuck off. So for me, like, you know, dating girls, you know, I date the good ones. The very, like, strong, independent girls that are the good people, you know. And, you know, when our relationship ends, or if it ends, and hopefully, you know, eventually, like, not be that way. You know, you still want to, you know, have a good respect and still have them in your lives, because they're, you know, they spend a lot of time, you know, being with you, and vice versa, you know. And I don't think that relationships need to end so just crazy, like, you know, like, oh, you hear about all these crazy relationships that just I don't know, man, like, they just hate each other, there's restraining orders, like all these, like, crazy nonsense things that, like, I think, like, as adults, like, you should be able to, like, realize, okay, cool, like, you're not my person, like, but, like, I care about you, so.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Amen. It's amen, because it's funny you bring that up, is because, you know, I had saw a meme, and, you know how, like, there's that app called Time Hop?
Yeah.
So it was telling me, like, you know, a couple years ago, I had posted this meme, and I'm looking at it, and I'm just like, yo, this is so true. And it said, you know, the meme said, I don't know exactly, you know, word for word, but it was basically saying, it's crazy how you could be in a relationship with someone, right? And you guys are real close, your best friend. Then, you know, y'all break up, and then you guys go from talking to not talking at all and not knowing each other. And you know, just like you said, I agree with you with, if you and I, you know, me and another woman, we're in a relationship for a year, two, three, four, or longer.
Absolutely.
If we break up, there should be no reason why we can't, you know, be friends.
Still be civil, still have, like, I mean, you're going to still care about that person. Like, you know, like, I still care about my ex-girlfriends. Like, I'll never be with them again, but, like, I still, like, truthfully care about them. You know what I mean? Like, because, like, one, they were a big part of my life. Like, they influenced me in different, you know, aspects of kind of where I'm at now. And, you know, they were there, and, you know, we shared a lot together. And it's just, like, I don't know. It's yeah, man. Like, you're right. Like, it's just so weird when people, like, don't.
It's mind-boggling. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, you should be mature enough to know, like, okay, cool. Like, this isn't going to work, and that's fine. And then kind of, like, I don't know, like, you were still in each other's life. Still, like, have some sort of connection. Maybe not. Some relationships are harder. I get it. But I don't know. I've never
the really only,
had that with the
connection. Only, yeah. The only time I say, like, all right, you know what? That really, you know, the relationship if you got, you know, two people break up, leave it at that and just move on. It's when either the man or the woman made it to the point where, like, for instance, I mean, we'll use, you know, a man, for example, if he became abusive, whether it was verbally, mentally, or physically.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If he, became abusive, stalking, or whatever. So I'm more of the, like, listen, if we got into, like, an argument or we got into a fight, you know what I mean? It ain't that, it wasn't that serious to where I physically harmed you or emotionally or mentally harmed you, then why are we enemies now? Yeah. Like, we're talking about two people who, like you said, were in a relationship together, slept in the same bed together, had sex together, and did pretty much everything together. Now it's, I don't talk to you, you don't talk to me, I don't know you, you don't know me.
Yeah. I think, yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's like, it's one of those things too, man, with, especially with, like, there's some guys out there, man, that, like, do not want their girlfriend or wife or whatever to talk to their ex. And man, in a sense, I get it.
That's, like, insecurity.
It's an insecurity thing. I get it. But, like, yeah, man, like, you're right. I don't know, man. I just don't, for me, it's hard. I mean, you obviously don't want to think about, like, the girl that you're in love with at the moment to, you know, you don't want to think about her ex-boyfriend, like, you know what I mean? Like, hitting her up or whatever. But, like, if you have that, you know, if you're comfortable and you guys have, like, good connection and, you know, have a good, you know, just understand one another. I don't care if my girlfriend has a ex-boyfriend that she's friends with or talking to, as long as, like, one, you know, he's respectful and he knows, like, yo, man, like, don't be doing that. And, you know, as long as I know, like, she's like, yeah, I love you, like, no, there's no chance. And that's, like, and that's why I go for those, like, hard-headed strong women, because they also, yeah, they don't fuck around too much, man. Like, they're not very easily manipulated or anything like that, which, not, I'm not saying, like, you know, people are like that, but you know what I mean? It's just like kind of my preference. I like that. I think, you know, I don't know, for me, it's great. It make, like, for me, those girls make me stronger, you know, they make me a better person just because they're so level-headed and they're so, you know, goal-oriented and focused and driven, and those are the women that I, man, the moment I, like, hang out with those girls for 2 days and we're into each other, I'm like, yeah, that's the girl, because I know she's, if a dude comes up to her in, like, a club or a bar, she's gonna literally, like, be like, get the fuck away from me, like, I'm not dealing with this, like, you know, it's, like, stuff like that, man, like, so, yeah.
And you know, with me, it's the women, you know, the women who act the way that, you know, that I was saying that they shouldn't be acting, they're the ones, they make me stronger.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They make me stronger because, you know, it shows me something and teaches me something, and it lets me know, like, all right, cool, this isn't what I want. So let me make sure the next woman that I get involved with, you know, isn't like that. Or,
yeah, that's one of those things, right? They say, like, you learn something from every relationship. So you learn, like, you know, like, what you like, what you don't like, or you know, what this person does that is not really compatible to you, which is funny, because it is true, to be honest with you. I just don't think I've realized that yet.
Let me ask you this, right? So, like, you know, let me know if you go through this too. Like, with me, is I have a hard time believing women and trusting women. And the reason why that is because every woman that I've ever been involved with, I'll have, like, you know, all these long conversations, intricate, you know, in-depth conversations with them. And I tell them the do's and don'ts, what I like, what I don't like, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, you know, stuff to avoid so we can have a good relationship. And then, you know, I always have them say, I'm not like that. I would never do that. Don't worry. You know what I mean? And then when shit hits the fan, they do the complete opposite of what they said they wouldn't do.
It's interesting.
So because of that, I'm like, yeah, I can't. You know what I mean? I can't trust him. Not really, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think, like, it's like anything, man. Like, when you just start out in a relationship, it's like one of those things where it's like, I mean, it's brand new and you like that person. So you kind of want to do kind of whatever to, make them happy, make them, like, feel at ease, and then kind of make them fall for you. And, I've had my fair share of that. Which is funny. I might probably have done that too. You're totally right. But it's like, it's weird, man. Everyone says something that I would never like, man, like, I don't know. Like, I would never be mean, or I would never yell at you. And then all of a sudden, like, it just happens, you know, in the heat of the moment. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's interesting. It's interesting. I've had some interesting situations with girls, but I think the moral story or this thing is, you never, ever, ever put your hands on a female, ever.
Definitely not.
I don't care what she does. Oh, I'll tell you one quick story. We can dive off of this. But it was with Vinagra.
Yeah, I remember Vinagra.
So me, Vinagra, and Mitch. He wasn't there for too long. He got thrown into the boards by that giant steroid dude.
I know you're talking about. Yeah.
So we went out to Salem and. We were hanging out and danced with some girls. I came to go pick up my ex and her friend, and I'm not naming names or anything like that. Some names were called, and when I picked them up in Boston, she found out, I guess, like, I was dancing with a girl, which doesn't, again, I'm not taking your girl home with me, like, you're my girlfriend, you know, it's not like that, like, we're just hanging out. I'm like grinding on a girl, you know, it's not anything like that. We're just hanging out, just having fun. But anyway, yeah, she said some things. Vinagra left. I don't know where the hell he went. He just was like, I'm out of the car. I was like, dude, don't leave. He was like, no, I'm up. So he left. This girl just fucking, I was driving us back home to the North Shore, and she just, dude, I'm not even kidding you, like, beat the shit out of me while I was driving. Like, I had, like, claws, like, literally, like, scratch marks all over my, like, chest, and a black eye. Like, I literally got beaten up while driving. To the point where I literally, like, got to, like, her road and was like, you just need to get out of my car and just kind of go away. And your friend needs to as well. Like, what in the world? But it's funny, you hear stories where girls do that, and dudes.
Why should beat you up?
Dudes retaliate, and it's like, dude, I'm a guy. Like, obviously you're bigger than me. Like, you're a fucking 6'1". What'd you say? 6'1", 220, 230?
240.
240? Bro.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I'm like, I don't know. I want to say I'm 6 feet, but I'm not. I'm like, we'll give a 5'10" and like 3/4 and 195. But man, I would never, ever. Like, it's just, I've had girls hit me, man. I just would never do that. And I know so many people that I hear these stories about dudes who, you know, like, they're, well, she hit me. And it's like, okay, like, who cares? Just wrap her up and be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you're stronger there. Like, you're stronger than, you know, like, it's just, for me, I don't, it's just fucked up. I don't, like,
no,
stories, especially back home in Boston, man. Like, I don't hear it too much out here, but back home in Boston, a lot of the stories about dudes just, like, well, she hit me. It's like, no, man, who cares? Like,
Oh yeah, I hear it every day.
Like, just fucking leave. Just leave. Like, what does it matter? Like,
I hear it. Yeah, I hear it every day. And I've always, you know, and like I've always said, like, listen, if I hit a woman, she might not survive.
Bro, 6 foot.
You know what I'm saying?
40? Dude, I might not survive. Fuck.
You know what I'm saying? Not only that, it's like if a woman hits me, it's like, all right, cool. You know what? Yeah. You hit me. I'm walking away. I'm gonna call the cops so I can file a report. I'm gonna take you to court. And you know what? I'm gonna get some money off this. I'd rather get some money off this.
That's a good way to do it. Yeah. Always try to get money.
Yeah.
Now I think maybe same thing for you, man. Like, you know, you have what? You said you have 5 or 6 sisters, right?
Yeah, 5. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, growing up with women, I think that's a big thing. For men, in terms of, you know, like abuse like that, because, again, like I said, for me, I was raised by pretty much my sister and my mother. So the thought of me putting my hands on a woman, it's just not like, it just, that would be insane. And the thought of someone like putting their hands on them, like, then I would lose my fucking shit, dude. And I would just, yeah, like, no, that wouldn't be good. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think it's like also like kind of how you're raised and kind of what you've seen. You know what I mean? As you're growing up.
True.
Yeah. But in general, like, man, I think that needs to be touched upon more. I don't think it is touched upon a lot, because that's not a cool thing, and that
should not at all
ever happen. But anyway.
But anyways, now with 2020, and I know how, you know, yeah, you said, you know, you were traveling and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I've been traveling for a long time.
Now, are you still traveling with everything going on with all the restrictions that they put?
I've been in Austin, man, for almost like 2 years now. I've lived here, yeah, about 2 years. It's been cool.
Why'd you stop traveling?
Interesting. You know, I met a girl, and you know, it's the moral of my life. But for me, I kind of so I guess what happened was we'll dive back a little bit here. For me, I was dating my ex. We were together for a long time, and we were living in California together. And we were going to settle there. And we started traveling. That was the girl I was telling you that, like, kind of got me the travel, kind of like the travel bug, which I ended up falling in love with, the travel bug. But yeah, so, you know, we traveled a bunch. Then we decided to, like, okay, cool. Like, let's settle. You know, we had like a dog together and stuff like that. So this is going to be a really in-depth story. And, I haven't told this part of the story to many people, so I'm gonna share it on your podcast because I think it's
word. Okay.
It's just something to kind of touch upon. We were dating, we traveled, whatever. It was great. Like, she's my best friend, and moved to California. Ended up getting a pretty good job. And I was a AGM of a restaurant in San Francisco, and but we like lost our apartment because we were on the vineyard and we moved back, and then long story, but that doesn't matter. So I was traveling from like Santa Rosa to San Francisco to work, and which was as a drive, man. It was like an hour and like 30 minutes. And we were looking for apartments and stuff, she has money, but she, you know, she wasn't working, and we had ski lease up in Tahoe, and I don't know, man, it just, got to a point, man. I was out there, and I we weren't happy, and then, like, I ended up, having a brain aneurysm, and, that was
shit.
Insane, dude. That was fuck, man. That was the craziest experience I've ever had in my whole life, man.
Yeah, the brain. So, like, What happened?
So it was a subarachnoid hemorrhage. So I'm just fucking, I'll be real. I'm going to be as real as possible. We were having sex in the morning. And, you know, I did the, and as it happened, it like stopped. And I was like, what the fuck? And then finished. And then I was like, whoa. And then all of a sudden my head just hurt. Like when I say hurt, like someone was like taking like a hammer and just bashing me over the head. That's literally what it felt like. And I remember like, I like looked at her, I was like, babe, like there's something wrong with me. Like, holy shit. And I like stumbled and fell. And she was like, stop, you're fine. Like, there's nothing wrong. And I was like, no, like I'm fucked up. Like, there's something seriously wrong with me. And I went to the bathroom, started throwing up. Like, literally every 2 minutes, I was just, like, vomiting. My head felt like it was just falling off. It got to the point where I literally turned the faucet of the tub on and put my head under it. And just to, like, kind of, like, I don't know, it made me feel a little bit better. But everything was just wrong with me. And it took her a long time before I kept saying, like, let's go, I need to go to the hospital. There's something wrong with me. And, it took a long time. And eventually she did. And I don't know, man. I'm not talking. Hopefully she doesn't listen to this because she's a great girl, you know. But the moral of the story is kind of everything tied in. She was like, babe, you're fine. Finally, she took me to the hospital. I got there, went into the nurse or whatever. I was like, I'm like messed up there. Scale 1 to 10. I was like, I don't know, 11, 15. Like, I'm jacked up. Like, there's something wrong with me. I'm like laying on the freaking ground. Like, so they bring me in. I'll never forget the moment after they gave me the CAT scan and whatever the other gimmick is. This doctor came in and he was like, you have a brain aneurysm. We're going to rush you to UCSF because we were up in county in California, a little bit north. And yeah. I was like, man, like it was so weird for me because like my first thought too, which is weird, like when you get like news like that, bro, like my first thought was like okay, how do I tell my mom this? But like that literally was at my mom's in, you know, Boston, right? And feel a little sickly, and I was just like, how the hell do I tell my mom this? Like, she can't travel out here, you know? Like, that was what went through my mind, which is, I think that says, I'm not, you know, gassing myself up, but I think that says a lot about a person, because I really didn't think about myself. Like, I was just like, all right, well, I'll probably be fine, but like,
really, I tell your mom.
My mom's sick. I don't want her to, like, be freaking the fuck out, you know? Like, I don't want her to be sad. And so she eventually, I told her, but so I was in the neuro ICU for about a month in San Francisco.
Damn.
Yeah, it was wild. I remember also looking at, you know, my ex-girlfriend's face, and it just like completely dropped. Like the moment she heard that news, it was like, oh shit, he was right. And to her credit, man, she was with me every single step of the way. Like, she was there every day. Like, she would sleep on a freaking, you know, like a chair, you know, like she was there. But I think for me, that first initial reaction was kind of hard. And then when you know, living out there, and I missed home. I wasn't happy. You know, she was gone a lot, and that first initial reaction really kind of ruined my relationship with her. Like, it It did. Like, we were together for a long time, but I think it did. It got to a point where, like, I was working in town, and she was up at our ski lease, and this was a few months after that happened, and I got to a really bad point, man, where I felt so alone. I was drinking a lot. I didn't really have anybody, and it was that was really
that's bad. Tough.
And so the moral, the ending of this, I'm gonna just throw it out there real quick. This is a very intense story, but I drove somewhere in Santa Rosa, and I knew this is a lot, man. So be ready for it. I literally just didn't want to live at this point. I felt so lost, like so helpless. I didn't realize why. Like, why did I survive this, like, whole brain aneurysm thing? Like what was special about me? And it was just a lot. But I knew a way to do something in a car that would be kind of slightly quick and painless, and I started to do it. But before I did it, I texted the few people that, you know, I really care about. I just said, hey, I just want you to know, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And one of my best friends called me, and he's never called me. He still has never called me other than this day, like, which is incredible. He called me. And he was like, what's up, man? And I just started crying. I was like, yeah, kind of vented to him, and I told him what was going on. He was like, get the fuck out of the car. And I was like, no, man. He's like, get the fuck out of the car. You're flying home. I'm buying you a plane ticket right now. I'm flying home, you're staying with me. We're going to figure this out. And I did. I got out of the car, fixed that all up, and packed up all my stuff, shipped it home, and got a flight the next morning. And I did that, man. It was, I haven't shared that to many people. So that's a lot. I get to the personal big thing, man. Like, I get to a point like,
yo. I know firsthand about it. Number one, I got chills listening to that story. You know what I mean? And not only that, I've been there. I've battled depression pretty much, you know, all my life. I've gotten so much better, you know what I mean? But that's through a lot of therapy, medication and all that. But I was suicidal many times, especially after my father passed. Like, I was ready to, you know what I mean? I was like, just like you, I was like right there on the edge, you know what I mean? About to jump, metaphorically speaking.
You just feel like there's nothing.
Yeah, you have nothing. You just like, what is there to like really to like live for? Like, I didn't want to live. So I know exactly what you mean. I'm just, bro, I'm happy that you didn't go through with it. And I'm happy that I'm right now, this day, I'm talking to you. Because trust me when I say, if I had gotten the news, because I would have somehow through Facebook more than likely, like, yo, you did hear about Christopher Reed? Like, what? Oh, he committed suicide. I would have been hurt.
Yeah.
I would have been hurt. I would have been like, you sure? Is this the same Christopher Reed we know? Flag football quarterback? Nah, no way. You know what I mean? I would have been hurt. I'm glad that you
didn't go through. Yeah, it's depression is a real thing, man. Like, it is, dude. Like, you know, we all go through hardships, and you know, life is a journey. You know, it's always going to be ups and downs, hardships, and fucking being on top of the world. But you need to balance that out. Like, and at that point, I didn't really know how to do that. I didn't really. I was like ignorant to the fact that I didn't know how to do that, and That's on me, because, you know, I just literally, like, 6 months before, like, survived a brain aneurysm. So it's like, for me, it's like, I don't know. Like, as I look back at it and we're talking about it now, it's like very, like you survived something that, like, a lot of people don't survive. And now you're just going to, like, do that to yourself. It's just like, it's kind of messed up, but it's also kind of where I was at and what I felt like. And, you know, thinking there was no way out, but there's always, yeah, there's always something that's going to make things better, you know? And, like, everyone can just, you know, can do that. Like, as bad as things may get, like, you can always, like, things will get better. Like, they will. Like, it's a part of life. So, I'm very glad that my friend called me. Love him to death. He is, like, my brother. I've known him for, like, man, like, dude, like, 20 years now. It's freaking insane. But it's also, it's one of those things, too. Like, again, he never calls me. This is the one time he called me. We always text or whatever. I'm always, like, when we're back home, I'm always with him. But, like, it's the one time he called me. So it's, like, one of those things, too, where it's, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, the, like, I forget the word, but it's basically, like, everything exactly happens for a reason. Like, absolutely, that was, like, the saving angel. Yeah.
Like, he kind of knew. He was, like, oh, what the hell is this? And he did that. I haven't shared that to, like, a handful of people. I don't mind sharing it now. That was a long time ago. So I'm in a great spot now. But that was very, like, challenging and trying for me. But, man, pulled through it, man. And still living the dream. But, yeah, definitely anybody who's battling, you know, depression or, you know, sad. 2020 is like terrible. Like, everyone's in their jobs and their houses and everything. It's all gonna get better. So,
I agree.
The moral of that is just you know, always power through during hard times, because there'll be better times. It's just part of life, good and bad. Better, you know.
Yeah,
we all can't. Be Tom Brady.
You're right, for real. We all can't. You know what I mean? I definitely approach everything like that. No matter what it is I'm going through, I always look at it and say, this is temporary. You know what I mean? It's going to get better. Let me actually clear my mind and think how I can get out of this situation or how I can make it better. Because it happened for a reason.
I think, like, there's a lot of people that maybe don't have that mindset. That definitely is exactly what you need to be doing. Just because, you know, like you said, man, everything's going to get better. Like, shit happens for reasons, dude. We're all going to go through it. We're all going to go through those good and bad times, man.
Very true.
Yeah.
So now,
I'm glad I shared that.
So now, you told... I'm glad, you know what, I feel honored that you definitely shared it, you know what I mean, with me, especially on this show. You know what I'm saying? So, now, you told me you saved somebody's life. What's his name that played flag football?
What do you mean
too?
I didn't save anybody. Save their life? Wait, what? I didn't save anybody's life.
Oh, you just then.
What are we talking about?
I must have heard it wrong, but who was it that played flag football that you said something about?
Okay. Right before this is a wild trip of life. So my best friend is a kid named Cody. He was the obnoxious, kind of played middle linebacker for our team.
I looked at him I mean, you know, not so much now, but back then I'm like, this kid's a fucking
punk. No, he's the best dude. He's the best person in the entire world.
I don't look at it now. This is back then.
Best person in the world. My best friend, dude. He's my brother. Like, I love him. Love him so much. But he was one of the things too. I was like, 6 months before I got my brain aneurysm, and he texted me and was like, oh, he called me, actually. And again, he never calls me. My friends never call me. They just text. If anyone's listening, call me more. That'd be nice.
For real.
No, he texted me, and he called me, and he was like, hey, man, what's going on? And I was like, again, whenever my friends call me that are close to me, I'm like, something's got to be going on. And he was like, hey, I got leukemia. And I was ignorant to the fact I never really knew what leukemia was. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you. I never really knew what it was. I was like, what does that mean? And he was like, I have cancer. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, I have cancer. I was like, where the hell are you? And he was like, I'm at Brigham and Women's. And we started talking, and I still, to this day, have never seen this man cry. I've never seen this man really show too much emotion. That probably is the most emotion that he showed, and it was like honestly, like baby emotion. Like it wasn't even that bad. That's why like kid's like the strongest kid in the world. But yeah, he told me that. So I remember getting off the phone, and so I Googled it. I Googled his he had AML, leukemia. And I Googled it, and it was like a 25% chance of recovery. I remember, man, when I Googled that, dude, this kid's my best friend in the whole world. Dude, I fucking broke down. Like, I was on Martha's Vineyard. I was, when I was out in Martha's Vineyard working, you know, it's a grind out there. You know, you're there for 4 months, so you're pretty much working every day to make your money, and then you're kind of good for the, you know, for the rest of the year. But yeah, man, I completely broke down. And yeah, I was scared, I was nervous, and he told me that on like July 3rd. And he has some stem cell transplant. I think I want to say it was in August, but so he was in a hospital. His birthday is July 14th. And I'll never forget, man, it was so weird. I had long hair at the time. This was like 4 years ago. Shout out to long hair, man. Shout out to long hair. I wish I still had long hair. Yeah, I wish I still had. It's a process to fucking grow that stuff. But growing it out to donate it to cancer. That was my plan. And it was long enough, but I, honest to God, dude, I kind of dug it. Like, you know, I committed so much to it. I was like, oh, fuck it. I'll just have long hair forever. But I remember going back into Boston from the vineyard for his birthday. And I was like, I was just getting into town, and I was like, man, like, why don't you just donate your hair? It's his birthday. He just got cancer. Like, fuck it. And then like me also in the back of my mind, your whole head, why don't you just shave your eyebrows? I didn't do that. I'm not sure I didn't do that, but I did donate my hair on his birthday with my eyebrows kept, and then I showed up to see him for his birthday. And dude, shout out to him, bro, like strongest kid in the world. I know you might think that he's a punk. He's the sweetest and best person in the world. He's a rider. Fucking incredible human being.
No, I don't think that. I don't think that of him.
Yeah, he's like almost at the 5 year mark of beating fucking leukemia, and like once you hit that mark, you're done. Like
that's what's up.
Well, not done, but like you're good. Like you're pretty much. So he.
Yeah, congratulations to him on that.
I've ever met, because like he was dealing with that, man. I never saw much emotion on him, and it was like. It, you know, I had my brain aneurysm like 6 months later. So like for me, it was like very, you know, I would just text him and random things, man. Like, hey man, they want to give me this like thing in my chest, like like a pick in my chest to, you know, not have all these cords in my arms. And I'm fucking nervous about it. He's like, dude, just fucking do it. Like, just fucking do it, you'll be fine. It's not gonna be a problem. Like, so it was like nice for me when I had my situation that he already went through all of these like crazy procedures. And then also on top of that, like when I was there, whenever I would see him, he made himself like a case study because he was younger. And so, you know, like a doctor would come in and there'd be like 15 like med students, like just like touching him or whatever. And it was funny, like talking to him after, he'd be like, oh, but they had these two people like literally were totally off, but I wasn't going to say anything. So then, yeah, when I had my brain aneurysm, I did the same thing. I was like a test study because I was like, that's cool, man. I'm like, yeah, you can do whatever you want. So, yeah, it's weird, you know, being so tight with somebody, having two really like big experiences in your life, you know, being there for each other and you know, just you know, supporting each other and both getting through it. So it's crazy. But yeah, he's amazing. I know he sucked on the field. He fuck. He was an asshole. But he was. Yeah, that was his role.
greatest kid of all, though. And then you know what? I don't blame him. Then everybody has a role to play.
I remember actually this is a funny story. someone threw. Oh my God, I never played D. Obviously, is my jersey in the rafters? Have you been to Hockey Town?
Yo, bro, I haven't been to Hockey Town. Last time I've been to Hockey Town or even played in that league was 2014. Yeah. I haven't been there.
Oh my God.
But it really did.
Funny story. I would love to talk about Hockey Town, but literally I never played D. Dude threw the ball and he went to go pick it off and it went through his hands. Because again, he's the instigator. And it went through his hands, and I intercepted it. And he literally turned around and was like, what the fuck? And I was like, dude, I got the interception. He was like, that was fucking mine. It was amazing. That was amazing.
It went through his hand, landing in yours, but
I caught it. We're on the same team. And he was pissed off. He was pissed off that I got it. I was like, dude, what the fuck? I was like, dude, no, I should have had it. I should have fucking had it. I stole it. I was like, all right, fine. Great kid, though. I love him, guy.
But you know what? If he gets to listen to this, you know, congratulations on Cody on beating leukemia, man. That's that's what's up right there. You know, best wishes for you. All the respect for you to battle something like that and to get through it. You know what I mean? Like, utmost respect.
Man. Hardest dude. Fucking, you'll never see a stronger person than that kid, man. I've still have never seen him cry, which is insane because I would have been crying if
Oh yeah, me too. Absolutely.
So strong fucking kid. Strong people is something definitely in my life, man. Like, you know, yeah, I told you about my mom story a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm finishing up a book right now.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you about that. So what's the book about?
So it's called A Mother's Triumph. And so it's essentially about my mother's life. And, you know, it's the good and bad. Dude, it's exactly what your podcast is, the good and bad podcast. It's about bad times, good times, hardships, and just overcoming them. And that's like something that, like, for me, especially with all these things that I've dealt with, she's been, man, like the just inspiration for me in life, man. She's the strongest person. And like, a lot of people say that, but no, she's like literally the strongest person in the world. So I want to, like, you know, just finishing up this book, and hopefully you guys will, you know, buy it once I get it published. I'll give you a little just backstory of her life. She was born with a twin. The twin died at birth, and my mother was born with like really like crazy ailments, and she had like 40. surgeries. She was never supposed to walk. She was never supposed to have children. Really crazy. So at 6 years old, she started walking. And then at 19, she had my brother. 21, she had my sister. And then she eventually had me. I'm a lot younger than them, but she had three kids, super healthy. Outside of the brain aneurysm thing that I had, she overcame that, and she was with my father. My father died when I was two, obviously I wish I, knew my dad and whatnot, but it's just kind of a part of life. You just kind of grow up and it is what it is. But for her, I couldn't imagine being, a mother and having a 17, a 15, and a 2-year-old. And then your father, your husband passed away. So that happened. And then, this sounds like legitimately fake, but it's like so crazy how true it is. So our house burned to the ground 6 months after my father died. Yeah. So she had these like three kids, and then that happened. she's been cruising, man. She got sick, man. I was about like 21-ish. She went to an assisted living program. This whole like last 9 years or so, it's been ups and downs and so on and so forth. Just like life, she's the strongest woman. She's incredible. Like what she's gone through, what she's overcome, and like what like she does, like, and it's on me too. Like I get so sad about it. So maybe that's why I travel so much. Maybe. But she always told me to just like do what makes you happy. Like if you want to travel, do it. Like don't worry about me. Don't like that doesn't matter. Like I love you. You're always here for me. You can always come home. Like don't worry. Like there's no need for you to be here if you don't want to be. And obviously I want to be there for her, but I just something about Boston for me. I don't want to be there like right now, but I might be moving back home soon, so we'll see. But strongest woman I've ever met, man. Like, God, do you need to meet her? She's incredible.
Well, you said you might be moving back home soon. So if you do, we gonna get up and then hopefully I get to meet her.
Let's do it.
Yeah, definitely. But hey, man, when is this book gonna be finished? When does it come out? When do I get to read
let's
it?
Let's give it a little bit. I wanna say like this. It's a lot of shit to do with this stuff,
True.
I gotta get it. I'm not a bad like writer, but I gotta get it. I definitely have to get it. What's it called? I have to get it. Someone who's very good at grammar. Apparently, I'm not. Someone who's they have to kind of go over it, and then I have to get it
proofread it. Yeah.
And I'm trying to eventually do that with a company. So, and then once that happens, then it'll be out. But before that, I'll send you the rough draft of it. I don't even care if it's not critiqued or anything like that. So, but it's gonna be cool, man. Like her story is incredible. It's amazing. It's been really, really cool to write that, honestly. Just because, she means everything to me. It's my mother, But her story, man, it's freaking crazy, dude. Like, you can't even. It's like funny. Like it literally sounds made up, but like yeah, her story is incredible. I think it's gonna be. Cool. I think people are gonna like read it and be inspired by it, and definitely, hopefully, it's like uplifting. And again, it's like kind of like what this. I feel like this podcast was about. You know, like good and bad times, and then just you know overcoming adversity, and just. Rolling with the punches, man. Like, that's fucking the way you gotta do it, dude.
That's dope. Yeah, man. You know, honestly, I'm really looking forward to
reading. I'll send it to you before I get it kind of like whatever I'm gonna do with it, but send it to you just straight up. Just cool. You can go over
it for
impressions too if you want.
Oh, I got you. I'm real good at that.
Shit,
I do it to people all day on Facebook and Instagram. Awesome. But yo, you know, when you do send that to me and I get to read it, you know what I mean? I'll definitely speak a little bit about it on the podcast, and then when you know when it's published, I can have you back on the show to talk more about it.
I think it'll be great, man. Oh, dude, I wanted to talk to you one really quickly about that one thing I was texting you earlier, man.
Go ahead.
I didn't send you the video, man. I should have sent it to you. So there was, man, when I first moved out here, I know I'm totally getting off topic, but I really wanted to touch base on this because this is important, especially with everything going on in the country right now.
White privilege.
Yes. Again, you know, I was a little bit ignorant to the fact of it, but I realized it on this day. It's about a year and a half-ish ago. Anyway, so these two girls were fighting on 6th Street in Austin. I'm gonna send it to you actually after we get out. So these two chicks were fighting, literally like fighting. And I forget his name, but this black dude came over and bro, you know me, dude. I even to this day, but in general, like I don't think of people like that. If you're a shitty person, you're a shitty person. If you're a good person, you're a good person. I don't like put colors or sex, or, you know, like, fucking who you want to have sex with. Like, this doesn't matter to me. If you're a good person, you're a good person. If you're a shitty person, you're a shitty person. But I didn't really think about the whole idea of white privilege. And so these two girls were fighting, and whatever. And the cops come. And I literally was just leaving work, and... I saw it and I was like, holy shit. And so I was ordering an Uber to go home, and it was like right in front of it. And so I'm like walking to the car. It's like right after the cops are there. The cops have this, you know, black dude down on the ground and like, or on the, I guess the curb, like his hands behind his back. And I literally was like, this dude did nothing wrong. Like, it's even in the video, which I'll send you. He literally did nothing wrong. All he did was come and try to break up the fight. Like, he literally, no one else was doing it. Even me, like ignorant as I was. I was across the street. I was just recording it. I figured someone was going to do it. That's on me. I should have probably went over there and broke it up, but I didn't. And that's on me. But he did. He did. He came over and he was like, what, like, stopped everything. So the cops had him down and they were about to, like, dude, his hands were behind his back. They were about to arrest him. Like, and I just remember, getting into the Uber, and it was like right in front of it. And I just was like, "Hey, wait before you go." And I rolled down the window. I was like, "Officer," and the cop came right over to me, and I was like, "Hey, he didn't do anything wrong. He was just breaking up the fight. Like." There's no need for him to be like this. Like, he did nothing wrong. He's just trying to be a good guy. I was like, if you want, don't know if he's drunk or whatnot, but he didn't do anything wrong. Like, I'll just take him home. Like, I'll take him back to his place. The cop never questioned me. Like, took the cuffs off of him. He went into the Uber, and that dude literally gave me a hug and was like, dude, like, you have no, like, I'm on probation. Like you have no idea. Like, I could have gotten, like, crazy trouble. I was just like, oh, I got you, bro. It's not a big deal, man. Like, he didn't do anything wrong. But it's, like, one of those things where it's, like, dude, like, you can't just stereotype. Man, I don't know. It's fucked. It's just fucked, man. Like, the whole fucking thing is fucked. But,
Oh, yeah, trust me. Trust me, I know. I know. I get angry every day when I read something new about racism, the news. It gets to a point where I just stop watching it, and, like, I'm in such fear of, like, my life and safety that I'm just like, oh, no, I'm not driving anywhere. I'm taking the bus and train. Like, no. And, I mean, I'll be with friends, and they'll be like, hey, you want to drive? Like, no, I don't want to drive. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's better off if you drive because you won't get pulled over because you're white. You know what I'm saying? So you good. Like, nah. You know what I mean? And I avoid getting into any kind of trouble. And it's sad because here you go, a guy who's just trying to break up a fight, which this isn't the first time that I've heard stories about a black kind of break up a fight and get into trouble, because I've read other stuff on the news about that. It's gotten to the point now, it's like, when I see something happening, do I want to get involved in that?
Yeah, right. Because at that point, what? Yeah, you're just gonna get arrested, probably, right? Like, that's so fucked up, dude.
Yeah,
it's so fucked up. It's man, I was blind to the facts for a while. Not saying, like, you know, anything like that, but I just, and my mindset has always been like, yeah, you're a good person, you're a bad person. There's always good and shit, and I still agree with that. There's always good and shitty people, like, you know, in any race or gender or whatever, you know, but in terms of, being victimized that way is just, I applaud you, man. I couldn't imagine having to literally, like, it's fucked. It's fucked, man. I feel bad for this country. I feel bad for, you know.
This country's going to shit.
I feel bad for just... Yeah, man, like, it's just like, what the hell, man? Like, come on, dude.
And it's like, you can't do shit about it. You just sit back and just watch the world
burn. Yeah. What are you going to do, too, right? Like, you hear, like, you know, the fucking, the George Floyd thing. Like, are you fucking kidding? What the hell is wrong? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, fucking just put handcuffs on this man. Like, the fuck is, like, what the fuck, dude? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, and then you got, like, people like, oh my god, the dude in Arizona who, like, murdered, like, 15 people, and he's, like, just in handcuffs, like, going to prison. It's like, dude, like, the fuck? Like, I don't know, man. It's a lot to
It's wild. It's crazy. You know what I mean?
And it's man. I'm with you, bro. I love you, man. I'm clicking. I'm with you. And that needs to change. Fortunately, Joe Biden can't handle the smoke, but hopefully he wins.
Yeah, right. Hopefully he does too. But the other one. It's called, yeah, it's you gotta choose the lesser of the two evils. Fuck.
But he can't handle the smoke, but that's fine. We'll give him it.
Yeah. That's so true. Right, yeah. Hey, I had a terrific time, man, having this podcast with you. I'm glad we did it, and I'm hoping, you know what I mean, to invite you back here on again, and you know, maybe next time, you know, we can reminisce, and then you know, you might have more stories to tell me.
Oh yeah, man, this was this was great, man. I'll be on whenever, man. I thought, this was incredible. It's great catching up with you, man. Fucking get after it, man.
And if you do move back here, you better make sure you hit me up so we can get up. Oh, you know what I mean? And
of course I am. Yeah. Where are you living at?
Go out to eat, whatever. I'm in Revere.
Fuck. Okay. My home. Yeah. Fucking everyone's in Saugus, pretty much. My brother lives in fucking shit. Where the Avon? Jesus Christ, it's south. Stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Absolutely. Let's fucking do it. Are you in any leagues? Are you playing at all?
Man, listen, I retired from all that. I'm just a referee now.
Oh, yeah. Is my jersey not on the just, Raptors? What the fuck? I retired. Like...
Yo, hey, listen. It may be. Like I said, I haven't been over there since 2014. Dude, you know what I'm saying?
I queued to take one down from you guys, man. It's like my hockey town fucking fame, except I threw that pick to, what's his name? Who's that fucking guy? Your boy. What's his name? Dude, he's a fucking stud. Ty? Was it Ty?
Tyrone?
No, not Tyrone.
Tyrone, JDM, Maurice.
Bigger, skinnier dude. What was his name? Maybe it was Tyrone. No, was that Tyrone? I think it might have been Tyrone.
He was tall?
Yeah, it might have been Tyrone. I fucked up so bad. Like, we were about to win that goddamn championship, and I was just like, oh, fuck it. I'll just throw it to Sinelli. Like, I got it. Like, cool. Get the first down.
And Tyrone came out of nowhere. Tyrone
came over, picked it off, and I was like, oh, no. Fuck.
That was Tyrone.
I was like, oh, I just fucked this up. The week before, that was cool. But,
Tyrone was a stud on that team.
Was. Actually, dude, I caught a ball. I caught a ball on him. Someone, I think Queso threw a fucking go up and get it, and it was me and Tyrone, and I actually picked it off. It was like on the zoo. And I'll never forget. He like looked at me and was like, yo, that shit's never gonna fucking happen again. I was like, you're absolutely right.
That's Tyrone.
I agree. That'll never happen again.
Yeah, that's definitely Tyrone.
But, bro, let's get back after it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So definitely, yo, keep in touch. You know what I mean? I'll definitely keep in touch with you,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely, man. This is great, man.
Yeah, it definitely was. Hey, have a great night, and thank you for being on the Good and Bad Podcast show.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you.
All right, bro. Have a good night. All right. Peace.